Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our live broadcast from the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Now through July 26th, the Berkshire Theater Group presents the Berkeley Repertory Theater production of Out of Character. It is a solo play written and performed by Tony Award winner Ariel Stachel. It is a show that is running on the Larry Weber stage at BTG's Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It is an innovative production that returns to the Unicorn after its powerful debut at the Festival of New Jewish Plays last summer. It shares an intimate journey through identity, success, mental health, and self-acceptance. It is written and performed by Ariel, who won the 2018 Tony Award for Best Featured Actor in a Musical for his role in The Band's Visit. And it is, this show is heartfelt, it is humorous, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Ariel Stachel to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the show.
I'm very excited. I've never done a live radio in front of this many people.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Very fun.
Once you do it, it'll want to do it every time. I have to say, I saw you in a band's visit and which was amazing. And then I was watching some video that you posted, some of your Instagram journey.
Yeah,
and it's fascinating. But one of the things that you talk about is that you had this career. You're doing these things. You are growing up. You have a lot of success in playing other people, and then you win the Tony Award, and then, as you say, the crash.
Mm-hmm.
What was the crash like, and what do you think brought on the crash?
The crash was about something that I think is pretty simple for all of us, which is imposter syndrome. And for me, it ran a lot deeper. I had spent most of my life really, really, really ashamed of my identity. It started sort of biologically as a kid who had obsessive compulsive disorder. And I had these unique phobias that were not normal. If people have seen my play, or if you do see it, there's a part where I discuss these very unique phobias, such as not being able to eat in front of people in wheelchairs. And it felt very real for me, and it felt like the stakes were very high. And if I did, the world would explode.
Yeah,
I believe that. And then the world started interacting with my own unique way of dealing with the world with someone as OCD, and 9/11 happened. And I am a brown skin kid, and I was the only brown skin kid at my Jewish day school. And pretty quickly, my dad was compared to Osama bin Laden, and pretty quickly, I wanted to run as far away from that as I possibly could. And so it led me to trying on identities as survival. And what felt like a really great solution as a kid, which is, I'm just going to lie about who I am because I want to be accepted at school, ended up having a huge cost. And the lengths that I went to feel safe at school meant lying about who my dad was. It meant not introducing any friends at school to my dad and having this very, very fractured life. And that carried through into college. And so I was still lying about my identity 2 years into my studies at NYU. And the one skill I had acquired through all of this lying was being really, really, really good at observing people and really good at characters, because that is how I survived. And so I would go to school and I was cosplaying as a black kid and I was really convincing. And then I'd go home and I was a Jewish kid. Or if at my mom's house was Ashkenazi, or my dad's house, I was Yemenite. And so the one thing that kept driving me was, maybe success will make me feel better. Maybe if I get validated, this stuff will go away. It can neutralize this feeling of not wanting to be me. And of course, many performers And many people who achieve a level of success realize that that's not the case. And so there I was getting, you know, the validation I dreamed of for my entire life, and very uncomfortable with who I was as a person. And so this play became the exploration of what that was and why that was.
Were you doing that as therapy or with therapy?
It was not therapy. Therapy was one component, but I started working with a brilliant director named Tony Taccone, who is just a genius, and was the first person to commission Tony Kushner. And so he's someone who really helped me understand that this was still something that had to be entertaining. And perhaps at first it was therapeutic. And that's why he was saying, like, I'd meet up with him and I'd send a draft. And this was just after I won the Tony. I knew I had to write this story. And I send him a draft and he said, work on it more. And I'd spend 6 months and he'd like, yeah, it's better, work on it more. And we got into one particular workshop 2.5 years into our work together. And it was clear that if we didn't crack something in this time together, that we'd move on and I'd either find a new director or the project would die.
Right.
And he looked at me and he said, what does your character want? I was like, he wants to feel whole. He wants to feel accepted. He's like, that's not a want. I said, okay, he wants to feel less anxious. And all of a sudden, he said, that's interesting. Go home and write about that. And I came back the next day with 25 pages. And it had taken me 2 years to write like 4 pages. So this was a lot of output in a very short amount of time. And I came back the next day. And it turned out that the way I was coping with my anxiety was actually funny. I had written this thing about, like, I have this very anxious flop sweating condition. And I had come up with all these really funny ways to hide it. I would go to restaurants and I'd make sure I had hot sauce close to me. And if I sweat, I would say the food was spicy. I'd purposely show up to a place sweating and I'd say that I had a long bike ride. I mean, I would do all of these different things to conceal what was going on. And as it turned out, like, that was where it became not therapy, but comedy and craft and art, which used the well of my experience, but was designed to entertain.
So how do you identify now and want to be identified?
I want to be identified as a Yemenite Israeli Ashkenazi Jewish American. Fair. Well, the end of my play, and I'm just going to do it. So the whole play, we were like, what is the end of the play? What is the end of the play? And I don't want to give too many spoilers, but I'm just going to go for it.
They didn't pay that much. Go ahead.
Right, they didn't say that much. So the actual end of the play is, well, I'm on this journey of this play. Why am I feeling like this? And I keep trying to find these identities that hold and nothing is sticking. And I have this anxiety disorder who's named Meredith. And so the end of the play is this. Spoiler. My name is Ariel, and I am a Yemenite Israeli Ashkenazi Jewish American from Berkeley, California, who spent most of his life pretending to be other people, leading me to become an actor who currently lives in New York City, alongside my anxiety disorder named Meredith, who I used to hate but I'm learning to love, even though she still sometimes drives me crazy, which may mean that I'll sweat, but just know if I do, it means that me and Meredith are especially thrilled to meet you.
There you go.
So that's how I identify.
I mean, you rattled that off, but that comes a long time to get to that understanding.
Yes.
Yeah. You have a video up on, I think it's recent, over the last week or so, where you're talking about anti-Semitism.
Yep.
And I was watching that video last night, and there was one word that jumped out at me.
Uh-huh.
And that word was nuance.
Mm.
And I was really struck by that. Because you're talking about, again, about identity, but also of what you have gone through and have seen as a result of anti-Semitism.
Yep.
And that idea of nuance is so important, and yet something we don't seem to really talk about or grapple or understand.
Yeah. My friend had a really funny response to that video. He was like, dude, I love your hard stance on not taking a hard stance. which I thought was kind of brilliant. I mean, look, like, for me, I said this in the green room. My dad was born in Israel. He's the son of Yemeni immigrants who were not treated well in Yemen, and they moved to Israel. And all I can do is speak from my personal experience. I am an Arab, and I'm a Jew. People have a lot of, there's a lot of different opinions on me identifying in that way, and I'm okay with that controversy, but nuance is just bringing all of your feelings to the fore and not getting seduced by rage bait. It's just not real.
You have an interesting video that was done right after the election in New York City.
Yep.
And it's basically an open letter to Zoran Mandami. And I found that interesting because you're just saying, okay, like, this is cool, but we can't really waste this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like there was a certain responsibility that I had, and it's really complicated because, and I'm just going to say it, I think Ashkenazi Jews have been put in an impossible situation in this country. And I have a certain privilege in a Western society as a person of color. And because I am seen as a person of color, I am able to speak about anti-Semitism, but also have the intersectional privilege in this particular cultural moment of saying I'm also brown. So I've experienced the kind of oppression that we in America see and view and agree is oppression. People of color don't have a good. We all agree on that. But when it comes to people who are white presenting, even if their family histories are full of trauma in the Holocaust, I find that Ashkenazi Jews have been demonized. And so I'm not scared to say that. And I think anti-Semitism needs to be addressed. And what I said in that video is something that I stand by, that it has been masqueraded as virtue to attack Jews. So I feel a great responsibility as someone with an intersectional identity to make sure that Jews, regardless of what color they are or what they look like, feel stood up for in a way that's not antagonizing.
Well, so let's go to the antagonizing part, and that is, there are moments, and I do not say this as any slight,
yeah,
but there are moments in those videos where there are moments of flashes of anger.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's necessary, right? I mean, you've got to be angry. I mean, you have to figure that out, but. There is a deep well of anger that is propelling a lot of this.
So I'll answer your question as succinctly as I can. When I first started advocating for Jews, it was 2 years ago, it was post October 7th.
Yeah.
And I thought that the raw way to express myself was to pick up my phone and speak. And whatever came out would come out and I would share that. I no longer believe that. I believe that this situation is so nuanced that it is my best interest to know exactly what words that I'm going to say. And I sit on a feeling and I meditate on that feeling for a week. And I ask myself every morning, is this of value? Is this offering value? And if I believe after 3-4 days that it offers value, then I do something that's scripted. Now, the fact that there is anger in there, well, I'm going on a journey. I have friends who say, listen, if you want to be a voice, got to be a little bit more diplomatic. We don't want to feel that heat. I have other friends who say, I love that heat. And I don't know. I can just go on the journey and be authentic and try to be a unifier. And I say I want to be strong and proud and also loving.
To me, in watching it, because it can come out just as words, but because you see those flashes, it comes out as this is coming from the deepest recesses of you.
Yes.
Does it work its way into the show at all?
It doesn't, but it doesn't, because my job on stage is to entertain and to tell my story from a very personal place. Has it influenced some of the content of the show? Yes. But I think of it as a companion piece. And the stage offers you a certain way of sharing your artistry, and Instagram and Speaking From My Heart offers a different side of my artistry. And what I do find is that for those people who appreciate the videos, they feel a little more connected to me during the show.
Right.
So it's, they're cousins, like Palestinians and Israelis.
The Berkshire Theater Group presents the Berkeley Repertory Theater production of Out of Character, a solo play written and performed by Tony Award winner Ariel Stachel. It is through July 26th on the Larry Weber stage at the Unicorn Theater in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And it's been getting incredible reviews. You are incredible, and I thank you so much for spending time with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. BerkshireTheaterGroup.org for more information. Thank you. We'll be back right after this.